is our legend of the game. We'll get a sports update from Tanya, and Robbie Slater will talk us through that A-League Grand Final. Time for the news. We'll be back shortly.
I'm Arthur Stevens. Firstly, to a warning for Western Australia's Great Southern region. A severe fire danger rating has been declared for today, covering the inland of the Shire of Ravensthorpe as well as the shires of Dumbleyung, Kent and Lake Grace. The federal government's expected to stump up $39 million in the upcoming budget in order to provide women with the whooping cough vaccination. The vaccine will be free and available from the 1st of July after it's added to the National Immunisation Program. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt has told the ABC that when women are immunised during the third trimester of pregnancy, the mother passes on the whooping cough antibodies to her baby.
They're too young to be vaccinated in their own right during the first 6 weeks of their lives, so the vaccination for the pregnant mum is the best possible protection for newborns against whooping cough, which is a disease that can cause brain damage, pneumonia, and sadly can take the life of a newborn.
Tasmanians have voted in the Legislative Council or Upper House elections for the seats of Hobart and Prosser. The Tasmanian Electoral Commission says counting so far shows Hobart incumbent and former Lord Mayor Rob Valentine with a strong lead over his opponents, Independent Richard Griggs and Liberal Simon Baracus. The Commission says a provisional distribution of preferences for the Hobart ballot will begin this afternoon with the aim of determining the winner. However, there's a much closer fight for the new Upper House seat of Prosser, with Liberal Jane Howlett leading Labor's Janet Lambert and Independent Steve Mav by the narrowest of margins. But election analyst Kevin Bonham has told the ABC Mav looks the biggest threat to the two major parties.
I think there is more of a danger that preferences could flow to Mav than there is of preferences flowing to Lambert over Howlett.
A new probe's on its way to Mars in an attempt to explore the planet's geography, which differs so much from Earth. The ABC reports the NASA Inside Lander has been launched from California to the Red Planet and is expected to rendezvous with Mars in November. It's expected then to spend a Martian year or 728 Earth days probing beneath the surface. Professor Tom Pike is a researcher on the mission.
We know an awful lot about the Earth, and what we've learnt has been from having seismometers on the surface to detect earthquakes, and we want to reproduce that as far as we can by putting a seismometer onto the surface of Mars and look inside one other planet.
Former Manchester United manager Alex Ferguson has undergone emergency surgery for a brain hemorrhage. He's been treated at Manchester's Salford Royal Hospital. Finally, large crowds are expected again today at the Illawarra Regional Airport in New South Wales as day two of Wings Over Illawarra kicks into action. Around 15,000 people turned out yesterday to sample the wide range of aerial and ground displays, with today's flying program promising a few extra surprises. Air News presenter and Wings Over the Illawarra spokesman Steve Vischer says visitors should have their cameras ready.
We're looking forward to another huge day of air show action here at Wings Over Illawarra. Highlights today include the first ever air show display by an RAAF P-8 Poseidon aircraft, the Hawker Hurricane, of course, and the famous F-A-18 Hornet display, which culminates with the Wall of Fire. Public transport is recommended, and the weather is looking absolutely perfect.
This is Air News. Footballer Melbourne Victory has taken out the Premiership in last night's A-League Grand Final in Newcastle. Victory's big game experience came to the fore to shut down Newcastle's encouraging start at McDonald Jones Stadium last night, holding on to their early 1-0 lead to win a record fourth title and snuff out the host fairy tale at the final hurdle. Victory goal scorer Costa Barbarossa says his team deserved the win.
I'm speechless right now. The boys have to dig so deep, especially the last few weeks. We didn't talk much. We went about our business. And, you know, we were massive underdogs tonight, and the boys came through.
North Melbourne forward Mason Wood has made a stunning return to the AFL, kicking a career-best four goals, including the match winner in the Kangaroos' two-point win over Sydney at the SCG. Playing in his first game of the season, Wood kicked North's only two final quarter goals as the visitors won 9-14-68 to 9-12-66. North's Sean Higgins says a win at the SCG is something special.
Well, any interstate win is massive, but I don't think it's any bigger than Sydney in Sydney, and they're a quality team, and we just found a way to grind it out.
In the other result last night, Adelaide were clinical, dispatching the Blues by 55 points. In the NRL, the Warriors were comprehensive winners over West Tigers 26-4 at Mount Smart Stadium. Canberra put on a show with a 32-18 romp over the Titans, and Cronulla put a stopper in Parramatta's winning run, pipping them 22-20 in the Shire. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz Grenache. By Debortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Safety depends on employers and workers together. Let Safe Work New South Wales help you start a conversation about workplace safety. Visit safetystartswithyou.nsw.gov.au. In Arncliffe, we've got a breakdown eastbound on the M5 East in the main tunnel. That's slowing up airport traffic even more. Mar Street, Airport Drive, the M5 East westbound approaching Mar Street. They're all slow going at the moment. And in Eastern Creek, we've got changed traffic conditions on the M4 between Wargrove and Reservoir Road. That includes reduced speed limits in both directions. The Michelle Bridges 12-week body transformation has helped Australians lose over 1.5 million kilos. Kickstart your weight loss now and get real results with 12WBT.com. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
We Greek gods have given you mortals many things, but now we present our greatest gift, Greek lamb with tzatziki from Subway. Deliciously tender sliced Australian lamb, marinated in garlic and paprika, topped with zesty tzatziki sauce. It's a mouth-watering taste of Greece. So get it before it's gone. Greek lamb from Subway. That's my kind of heavenly taste. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Attention ladies, Dynamic Syndications with Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott proudly offer this ladies-only ownership syndicate. Bred to be early and quick, we have a superb colt to aim at the rich Magic Millions women's bonus. Buy Rubik, a two-year-old feed machine, now exciting new sire. From Balloons, also a two-year-old winner. At only $5.95 a share. Sorry boys, this is just for the ladies. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 336808.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny, chance of a morning smoke haze or fog, mainly in the west. Light winds, maximum of 23 degrees. Raymond, Drummoyne now, Dubbo today.
Drummoyne currently 15 degrees. Sunny day heading our way for people in Drummoyne. Dubbo, cool start of the day, currently 13 though, warming up to a beautiful afternoon, 24 degrees and sunny at Dubbo.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It's the final hour. We've got our legend of the game. It's Ryan Girdler coming up very shortly. We look forward to that. We'll have a sports update with Tanya. Robbie Slater will give us his thoughts on the A-League season.
Was it a goal?
The A-League Grand Final.
He was actually adamant last night in the coverage it wasn't a goal, Robbie Slater.
Yeah, well, that's not going to placate any Newcastle Jets fans, is it? We'll take the open line calls on 1353 53. We'll also have a chat to our only Victorian on the program, Trent Lenscar from tab.com.au.
He did hear you, and he texted through.
Did he?
Yeah, you said, there's one Victorian listening to the show.
Yeah.
Good morning, Trent. We'll talk to you soon, mate.
It almost proves the point, doesn't it? They are different, the Victorians. And ladies and gentlemen, Exhibit A, Trent Lenscar.
You can't say things
yes,
like that.
Yes, you can.
Have you met Trent?
Not face-to-face, no. But the stories you've told me, Ray.
Very nice.
Paint
man.
A picture.
Very nice, man.
They do paint a picture. The great white shark that had two cracks at Mick Fanning. That's from Fitzy. Yeah, that's a near miss. I don't know if you're saying for the shark or for Mick.
Then Fitzy got serious, his next one.
Don Bradman going into his last test with a 101 run average and being bowled for a duck and finishing his career on 99.94.
That is a near miss.
That is a very good pickup.
Fitzy on your little asterisk.
Yeah, oh, well, there's a lot of asterisks there now. Fitzy's going to do well to win that one. I'll give him one asterisk. There you go. 1353 53, the open line number. Our legend of the game, though, he's a South Coast product. Had so many great rugby league players over the course of the years. He, of course, made a real name for himself with the Panthers.
Penrith
he played
Panthers.
227 NRL games, 8 origins, 14 test matches, and a premiership winner with the Panthers in 2003. You can hear him and see him now all across the rugby league media, and it's great to have him on this Sunday morning, Ryan Girdler. G'day, Girds.
Good morning. How are you, boys?
Yeah, we're really well, and appreciate you coming on the program to do this. We'll enjoy looking back on your career, but
We generally ask it of all the people we have on this segment. How did you get into rugby league? Was it a game of choice for the Girdler family?
I think, yeah, it kind of was. Started out playing a little bit of soccer, Jimmy, when I was younger, and then my brother, who's now, stands about 6'3" and 115 kilos, sort of got into rugby league, and I think that's playing with him in the backyard. That's where I learned my evasive skills, because I was never quite as big. And yeah, soccer didn't suit his skill set, so he moved on to rugby league when he was about probably 10 or 11, and then I was a couple of years younger, and I naturally followed suit. I don't think Mum wanted to drive to the soccer on the Saturday morning and then the rugby league on the Saturday afternoon. So
I hear you, Mrs. Girdler.
Just sort of moved across to rugby league, and that's where it sat and stayed.
Yeah, Ryan, good morning. Thanks for joining us. I'd actually forgotten that you'd started your career at the Illawarra Steelers. Being a Penrith boy, I sort of always think of Ryan Girdler and a Panthers jumper, but that was the case. You had your first two seasons in NRL with the Steelers. You had a couple of formidable centre pairing though at the time, and Paul McGregor and Brett Rodwell. So
yeah,
it was hard for you to get, I guess, a start in the top grade at centre. So you sort of stayed on the wing there for a fair bit. Was that a frustrating period for you? Did that lead to that decision to move to Penrith? How did that all come about, Ryan?
Yeah, it played a big part, Ray. Yeah, I came through sort of the junior system down there, played in an academy squad from about 15 through the SG ball, and then we won the SG ball. We had a pretty formidable side with guys like David Grella, Johnny Simon, John Crossall, who went on to play sort of a fair bit of first grade with the Steelers and some other clubs, and went straight from SG ball. Sort of at that time, I think that was an under-17s competition, and got to play in the senior squad straight away. After that, went up and played some 21s at the back end of that year. Then basically was drafted into the first grade or the senior squad for the next preseason, which was a bit of an eye-opener at sort of 18. And that year played most of reserve grade. Made a couple of fleeting appearances at the back end of that year in first grade. And the year after, as you said, Steelers had a great back line, Rodwell, McGregor, Wishart and McIndoe and the like. And I was sort of coming through the junior system as a centre 5'8", and sort of ended up on the wing a lot during that initial season, just filling in for those guys when they were sort of injured or on rep duties. But Phil Gould came down the middle of that year, and I'd played a fair bit of junior rugby league with and against Brad Fittler at the time, so we were sort of friends. And Gus brought Freddie down, and we sat down and had a chat, and they basically offered me an opportunity to go up there, and they'd won the season, the competition in 91, so
yeah.
I was a little bit in awe, to be honest, of these guys coming down and offering me a position to come up and play there. And then I sat down with Graham Murray, who was the Steelers coach at the time, and I was, 19 and thought I was ready to play first grade on a regular basis, and he said that they couldn't make me any promises, obviously, given the people I had in front of me. So I made the decision at that time to move on, and you have to say that in the end it was the right call, and I'm glad that I did it.
The point scoring, which becomes a feature of you as a player, not only at NRL level, but certainly at representative level as well, Ryan, do you think your kicking was influenced by your early foray into soccer?
Yeah, possibly. It wasn't something I really did in the juniors. I remember sort of when I was about 15 or 16, I actually started sort of doing it at junior club level. So it wasn't something that I'd always done. Even in junior reps, I wasn't the goal kicker sort of coming through even at SG ball level. So, for some reason when I was sort of 16, 17, I picked it up, and I was okay with it. And I think, certainly influenced by the early days of soccer, and I'm sort of a little bit amped but dexterous when it comes to I'm left-handed with a lot of things. Like I play tennis and I write, and I'm left-handed, but I also I play cricket and golf right-handed. I surf a lot, and I used to ride skateboards, and I actually surf with my right foot in front, which is goofy, and I skateboard with my left foot in front, which is natural. And so I sort of grew up not knowing what foot to actually kick with. So that was the biggest issue. So I think that's what made me sort of a decent soccer player when I was younger, was that I used to kick with both feet. So the hardest thing that I had to sort of come to terms with was actually working out which way I was going to kick the rugby league ball. And
end up being with the right foot. And I think when I settled on that decision, then I was able to sort of focus a little bit more on getting a little bit better at using, you know, my right foot, and then became an okay kicker in the end.
Okay kicker. Ryan, there was 1 year in Super League, we're jumping ahead of ourselves a bit here, 76 goals from 82 attempts during the season, 92.68%. Has there anyone ever kicked at a higher percentage over the entire season?
Brandy used to set up every try under the post. That's what happened.
Fair enough. But Ryan, so you sort of said it sort of came naturally in some respects, which I understand drew that soccer background, but when you did take it up, were you one to practice a lot? Because I know like people like Hazem El Masri, his practice regime was legendary. Did Ryan Gerber find himself practicing his goal kicking a lot?
I used to go through, it's as much sort of, I used to find it as much mental as it was sort of physical with the goal kicking. And I was sort of kicking in an era at the start where it was, you know, put the ball down on some sand, take a couple of steps back, spin around and away you go. And I don't think there was the same sort of influence in goal kicking in the early years as there was when I sort of really knuckled down and did spend a lot of time on it later on. But I used to find, Ray, that if I was, and I used to have this discussion with our coach, Roy Simon, a lot, if I was kicking well on weekends, which in those Super League years and that I was, I didn't do a lot through the week because I felt that I could only sort of... I couldn't get any better because I was kicking at a high rate and I was hitting the ball really well. And I wouldn't do a lot, to be honest. But then when I'd fall away and I'd need to sort of work on different areas, then I'd find I'd do practice until I got the things that I was sort of working on to be in a better place. And then I'd go in confident on the weekend and be able to kick okay. But then later on, I actually spent some time with, the incoming Socceroos coach, Colin Arnold. And
yeah, right.
He came over in the early 2000s, and he changed a lot about the mechanics of my my goal kicking. Because being a goal kicker, I used to bring my leg right back up, sort of almost to my bum before you'd release the leg and then follow through. And he took all of that out of my swing and made me kick sort of more through the hips and more like a punch golf shot as opposed to like a full swing driver. If that makes any sense.
Yep. Yeah.
And took a lot of the errors out of my goal kicking and made me kick a lot straighter. And he actually put that in place in 2003, the year that we won the premiership. So we were actually working on it during the season. And I decided about halfway through that year that I was going to change my style mid-year, which is something that you don't usually do. And not just correct a few things, but actually change my whole run-up and my whole style and the speed to the ball, which, you know, soccer players, they think that, you know, goal kickers have a pretty easy job because we're always kicking a stationary ball and we've got to sort of just get it to go straight and it's not too hard. And when the soccer players actually get in front of goals, I mean, they have to hit the ball at a rate that it's already moving and then try and direct it as well. So he made a lot of sense to me, Graham Arnold, and I think I became a much better kicker after I was finished working with him.
Let's jump forward again. 2000, New South Wales win the third Origin, 56 points to 16. Mm. It's at ANZ Stadium, as it's now known. 32 points you score in that game from three tries and 10 goals. You equaled the record of Dally Messenger, can you believe, of that time. What are your thoughts on that time, that series? I think that was the time Fletch threw the hand grenade, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, it was. It's funny. A lot of people talk and remember that third game, but it was a normal Origin series, to be honest, Jimmy. The first game was an absolute belter. We played at home. We just won, and it was in typical Origin fashion. It went down to the wire, and then, you know, we had a pretty good side. I mean, Andrew Johns was on the bench for the year 2000. So when you've got a goal like that on the bench, you know you got a pretty good Origin side. And then we went up to Suncorp in game two, and it was the same. It went down to the wire, and I think we kicked away with a couple of late tries, you know, in about the 75th minute. So, again, you know, it was just one of those series that was really evenly contested. And then the third game, I think at that point there might have been seven or eight Broncos that were part of the Queensland side, and Wayne Bennett came out and said, look, it's a hectic schedule for us, you know, the series is over, it's a dead rubber, do we kind of really need to play it? And they questioned that third game, and from our perspective, you know, there was a lot of pressure at Origin, and we'd wrapped up the series, so that allowed our third campaign just to be really,
we had no pressure on us. You know, it was a great. We had a lot of fun in camp, and training wasn't as hard as it usually was, and it was just really enjoyable time for all the players. I'd never been part of a series before that you win the first two and you get to relax on the third one. The third one's usually, you know, the hardest one because it's always generally the decider. So, yeah, we went in and with that sort of state of mind, and things just happened for us on the night. It just came easy, and you could see the Queensland guys, you know, they didn't really want to be there, and it just wasn't played like a normal Origin. So I was just in the right place at the right time that night. If you have a look at my tries, I'm just put the ball over the line, and I kicked well. As I said, there was no pressure on, and it didn't really feel like an Origin, to be honest, but it's obviously a record that I'm really proud of, and, you know, it looks like it's going to hang around for a while.
Yeah, it certainly will. Ryan, can I ask you, like, that was an era when New South Wales had a dominant side. They had some great players, and they used to win State of Origin series. Huh. We've almost forgotten what it was like now, this last decade of Queensland dominance, and you often hear about this so-called Queensland spirit, how they find a way to win. But I can't imagine New South Wales players not having that same will to win and that same spirit in the team. Can you tell our listeners, is there any difference between the Queensland spirit and the New South Wales spirit?
Well, I think they've, and Jimmy will tell you the same, going back to those early years, you know, where they were decimated, the Queenslanders, with, you know, all the New South Wales people, all the players that were Queenslanders that came down and played in the New South Wales Winfield Cup, and then they were made to play against Queensland. Yep. And so, you know, they like to bring up all the history of it, and they believe that it obviously means a lot more to their players, and they build on that, and that's what they take into their camps, and I think they draw a lot from those moments. But I think from my perspective, and I can only speak personally, I mean, I remember sitting in the lounge room. It was the only time, you know, I was allowed to sit up past 8:30 and watch TV, you know, when I was a 10-year-old, and I used to have my New South Wales jersey on and used to just think, imagine playing that one day. So I think everyone's got their own story, and it means something different to everyone. But I know that I'm really excited about what's coming up this year. I've spoken to Freddie a fair bit about his plans and the way that he's going to select the people, and I think that's the key message to all the New South Wales fans, is I pick, you know, the right people to go in and do the job for us this year. And I think that's what Queensland have really done better in the past probably 15 or 10 years, where they've had a lot of success. And a lot of the quality players, don't get me wrong, but, they've really picked the right guys to go in and represent their state. And I think that's where we're headed, and I'm excited about this. Yeah.
Look, Gerds, I'm still waiting for the Roosters to win the 2003 Grand Final. They were the best side all year.
Who won the premiership, mate?
Who won the premiership?
But
Who won the minor premiership?
Yeah,
exactly,
I know. Didn't you win like 12 or something on the trot?
Yeah, had a really good run there. I missed most of them. I dislocated my sternum in the first game of the season and missed the first 14 weeks. We lost the game that I played in, and then I think they won the next 9 or 10. So I started having fighting some inner demons there, wondering if I was ever going to get back into the lineup. But yeah, they had a really good run, mate. We had a great side, and it was a fantastic year.
Righto, 5th of October, 2003. There's 82,000 people in the stadium. You win at 18-6. There are so many famous moments in that match. Mm. But what about for you, Gerd? What did it mean to? I'd imagine having achieved a lot as an individual with New South Wales and Australia, to do that with the teammate remains a career high point.
Well, I never thought it would happen, Jimmy, to be honest. And you get to a point in your career, and, you know, I don't like a lot of changes within my personality. So it was a big move leaving the Steelers and leaving family and friends to go to Penrith. But I knew once I got there, I never wanted to do that again. Mm. So I was kind of in it for the long haul, and, you know, we'd been through, you know, I signed up there with Gus, and the back end of that year after I'd signed, before I moved up there in 93, unfortunately Ben Alexander died, and club was thrown into disarray, as you could imagine, and, you know, I went up there to play with guys like Brand and MG, and we know what happened after that incident, and we're there sort of where they went the next couple of years. So it was a really tough period when I went up there as a young man. And but I sort of, Freddie left a couple of years later, and yeah. and Gus both went to the Roosters, and I was still there and kind of thinking, you know, what have I done? And but then, you know, I had some really good discussions with Roy Simmons, and he basically came in and said, mate, you know, you're part of the plans, and we really want you to be, you know, one of the building blocks of this club and whatever. And if you're willing to hang around, I think it'll be worth your while. And I did. And we got to the point where I was, you know, 31, and we, I think in 2002 we came 12th or 13th, but we finished with about five or six in a row. And the last game of the season, we actually beat Manly at Brookvale by about 60 points, and they were looking to, they had to beat us at home to make the eight. And I thought, we had all these young guys coming through, and I think the club just sort of seemed to be in a pretty good place, and irrespective of where we finished on the ladder, and Johnny Lang had just sort of come in, and I think his message was starting to sort of filter through. And the next year in 2003, we played the Warriors in a trial game over in Auckland, and they'd obviously just been beaten by the Roosters the year before in the grand final.
Yeah.
And they had a full-strength side, and so did we, and we beat them by about 30 points. I think we all walked off and thought, maybe we can actually do something this year. And from then on, as I said, we lost that first game against the Broncos, who had a pretty good side as well, but we lost it closely. And then after that, we went on this amazing run. And then, but yeah, and up until sort of the middle of that year, I think I'd just given up on the fact that I was never going to win a premiership, and that I just needed to enjoy what I had left, which was only a couple of years after that point. But then at the halfway mark, I think we all started to sort of get together and think, well, maybe we can do it. And if maybe not this year, if next year, but with Luke Lewis and Luke Rooney and
yep.
Waterhouse and
yeah.
Clinton and these guys coming through, Pulitua, Reece Wester, and Gowie was already a star. So it was kind of like, maybe we do have the building blocks to something special here, and can we pull it off? And, you know, and that's what we did. It was quite an amazing feat, to be honest.
Yeah,
and beat fantastic. Freddie in the grand final, Ryan.
Yeah.
Brad yeah. Fittler in the grand final, beat him. So no, it was an amazing year for the Panthers.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Good. I mean, we could hear about the 2003 grand final forever and ever. However, we do have commercial commitments.
We've got
to meet, mate. So time has beaten us. Great to have a chat. Fantastic career. We love listening to you now on rival radio stations and rival
and,
networks.
And Channel 9
exactly. Yeah. But it's great to hear your story from you on a Sunday morning, mate. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, boys. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ryan.
There he is, Ryan Girdler, our legend of the game today. And
can we keep talking about the 2003 grand final?
Were you there? Up. Were you at that one?
I missed that one, would you believe? I can't believe
on
it.
A very wet night out there at ANZ Stadium. A very wet night. We're going to take a break, and then after the break, we'll come back with a sports update.
50 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest, with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2022 at Harvey Norman. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions, and technology. Minimum financed amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Offer ends May 21. 50 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest, with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2022, now at Harvey Norman.
You've heard of the war on waste, but what can businesses do? Whether you're a brickie or a barista, you can do your bit to keep valuable resources in circulation. Planet Ark has developed the War on Waste Toolkit for Business to help you choose the right recycler or recycling equipment supplier. Get your staff on board and find products made from recycled material. Even if you're not in the recycling business, you can be in the business of recycling. Visit businessrecycling.com.au.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Melbourne Victory defeated Newcastle 1-0 in last night's A-League Grand Final in Newcastle. After an up-and-down season, Kevin Muscat's men won their fourth title with a goal in the ninth minute from Costa Barbarousis. However, on inspection, the goal was deemed offside, but the VAR didn't see it. Jets coach Ernie Merrick, after the match, said he didn't want to sound like a sore loser, but what is the point of the VAR if it doesn't pick something up like that? The game drew a record crowd at McDonald Jones Stadium of just under 30,000. Parramatta almost pulled off an unlikely comeback in the NRL game against Cronulla last night. Down 22-4, the Eels scored three tries in 6 minutes. Mitchell Moses needing a conversion after the siren to level at 22-all, but it was not to be. Meantime, bouncing back after a 40-point loss last week, the Warriors hit back with a 26-4 win over the West Tigers at Mount Smart, but it came at a loss, losing Sean Johnson and Isaac Luke to injury. Earlier, Canberra beat the Gold Coast 32-18, while today St George Illawarra play Melbourne and the Roosters take on Manly. An unexpected win for North Melbourne over Sydney in the AFL match at the SCG last night, 68-66, but perhaps not when you consider the Swans have now lost three of their four home games this season, but have won all of the away. West Coast 102 beat Port Adelaide 60, and a 55-point win for Adelaide over Carlton, which saw the Blue Boys slump to 0-7, the worst start to a season in the proud club's 122-year history. New Zealand Super Rugby teams have continued their dominance over Australian teams, with the Blues defeating the Waratahs at Brookvale last night 24-21, taking the tally now to 38 straight wins. In other results, Hurricanes 28 beat the Lions 19, the Stormers 29 over the Bulls 17, and the Sharks 38, the Highlanders 12. The Giants beat the Thunderbirds 71-48 in the Super Netball match in Adelaide. Inside knowledge helped out there, with three of the Giants' players being ex-Thunderbirds. The Swifts play the Melbourne Vixens this afternoon at 3. Scott McLaughlin has won 4 of the 11 supercar races so far this season, including the first race of the Perth Super Sprint yesterday. Qualifying for today's second race starts at 11:20. A last gasp goal from West Brom gave the Baggies a 1-0 win over Tottenham, which ensures they still have a chance of avoiding Premier League relegation, however, a small one. In other results, Bournemouth 1, Swansea 0. Leicester 0, West Ham 2, Watford 2, Newcastle 1, and it was nil all between Everton and Southampton. Aussie Rowan Dennis has the leader's pink jersey after stage 2 of the Giro d'Italia cycle race, which is one of the traditional lead-ups to the Tour de France. NBA playoffs, now it's a thriller in Philadelphia. It's probably within the last minute now, and the 76ers are leading Boston 87-85. Boston lead that series 2-0, so that's a must win. Yeah. While later this morning, Cleveland take on Toronto, and the Cavs lead that series also 2-0. Jason Day hit his stride on the back nine for a 4-under-67 to build a two-shot lead at 10-under. That's after the third round of the PGA Tour event in Charlotte, North Carolina. American Nick Watney is next. He's at -8. And Bob Baffert won his fifth Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs this morning with Justify, ridden by Mike Smith. Sitting outside the leader in the 20-horse field, the Colts sprinted to the front on the home turn. They do it well. They do it well there. They do it well there at Churchill Downs, don't they? The conditions there are shocking. The quagmire there this morning. They have this part there where all the connections of the horses, there's hundreds of them that walk the track. Mm. And the commentators and the networks are walking along with them in
the mud.
In
yeah.
the mud.
And
they've got
their
gumboots on.
There are women, no, there are seriously women there have taken their shoes off.
Take off the high
in
heels
their
and
finery,
walk.
And they're walking barefoot through the mud.
Well, that's what Tom Magney said. He wished he'd bought a second pair of shoes.
I think Tom would be right to get another pair if he does ruin those ones. However, I think he'd be okay with that. However, don't we usually wait till the end of the races, till the girls have their...
That's what I thought. The timing is off. But just when you thought you'd seen it all, folks, now prepare to be shocked here. Cheesecake on a stick. I saw that on the coverage at Churchill
Downs. Was that lady was eating, was it?
Yes, there was a slice of cheesecake. On a stick.
What the Americans
no, didn't they have lasagna on a stick at the Easter show this year?
Hang on, just think of it. That doesn't sound too bad, does it? Cheesecake on a stick. If you're going to eat cheesecake, that'll be okay on a stick.
Better than with your fingers, I suppose.
There was some weird stuff in America, wasn't there, Tim? Remember that the cappuccino I had in New York?
Most of the Americans.
Well, couldn't find a cappuccino anywhere. We sat down one coffee shop.
It was a health cafe.
It was green,
wasn't
it? It
was green. It came out green.
Oh, you're kidding.
I couldn't stomach it. I had one sip. I said, I can't drink this.
Anyway, so when Greg Radley comes back, we'll ask him if he partook in the cheesecake
on a stick.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's something to look forward to at Churchill Downs.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Late two-pointer to the Celtics, 89 all in that game three, 89
end
all.
Of regulation.
End of regular time.
Gone to overtime.
So,
yeah.
We'll try and keep you updated with that right up to the end of the program. 13:53:53, open line number. Time now to talk some football. Gee, there's been some controversy around, also some serious news around too, following the bit of a health issue with Sir Alex Ferguson. Robbie Slater is our man for football, and great to get his thoughts this morning. G'day, Rob.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Yeah, first and foremost, I think Sir Alex Ferguson suffering a brain hemorrhage, and you can see by, I mean, the amount of tributes coming for him to get better and from all over the world shows you just quite how much he is revered in the game. And obviously, you know, 38 trophies will probably never be matched. 26-year reign at Manchester United, incredible career. But he's got a very, very different and more important fight on his hands at the moment. And, of course, a lot of Man United fans in Australia and football fans. So, you know, hoping that he can recover. Such a strong character, such a strong man. Wishing him all the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, well said.
Absolutely.
All right, Robbie, let's get to it. Was that a goal last night?
The goal of the game. Let's just consign it to the history books, that game, because it was, first half was decent. Newcastle played quite well in the first half, but unfortunately the second half, I think Kevin Muscat said in his post-match interview, the ball was more in the air than anywhere else. Mm. And, it wasn't pretty to watch. To make matters worse, controversy. Well, for me, there's no controversy. The boy's offside.
He was offside, wasn't it? Yeah.
Three of them offside. The game shouldn't have stood. VAR should have done its job. Yeah. As it should have done its job, in Melbourne City's loss to Newcastle when Daniel Arzani was fouled clearly in the box, it would have made Melbourne City 2-0 at the time. Who knows what might have happened in that game. A long way to go. Newcastle may have come back. Against Sydney, whether you say Sydney played well or not, Matt Simon, clear penalty at 2-2. Yeah.
Yes.
Minute before Antonis goes up the other end to score the winner. And last night, so to make it the hat trick, clear offside. There's been goals overruled this season for less obvious offside.
Mm.
I've got no idea why it wasn't.
Mm.
Look, it changes the game. I mean, it would have been 0-0, of course. You know, that doesn't mean Newcastle would have gone on to win the game or Victory wouldn't. But the fact of the matter is that changed the game. Victory pretty much sat in after that and defended very well. But, it's just disappointing.
So disappointing, yeah.
That a mistake, a goal that should have been ruled out for offside, decides the grand final. Mm.
And this is the one. You say consign it to history. And the problem with that is that ask the 30,000 Jets fans who were there last night, or ask the hundreds of thousands that were watching as well. And that's the disappointing thing, and that's the FFA or the game of football itself won't get that opportunity back again.
No, you won't. And look, you can't blame the FFA. They are an independent entity, the referees and the VAR. So, to be fair to the FFA, they put on a tremendous grand final. In respect to the pre-game, entertainment was fantastic, and the stadium looked fantastic, and everything, ticked all the boxes from their part. But unfortunately, the VAR has let us down. The VAR copped so much stick when it first came in, and then it seemed to get more comfortable. But really, in three massive calls.
Mm.
I mean, if the calls had gone the right way, you quite possibly would have had a very different grand final. You quite possibly would have had Sydney against
different
Melbourne
teams.
City as a grand final. That's how big those decisions were.
Mm.
Now, it's all well and good. The football purists will say, well, we don't like VAR anyway, and that's well and good. But the fact is, it's here.
Mm.
It's there. everyone can see it on the, with the technology on the big screen. It's clear, and it's simple. And yeah, to get it wrong three times is extraordinary. And in the, you know, in the big decider where there's only one goal scored, for that one to be very obviously, offside is.
Yeah.
To say that it's disappointing, I don't know what more to say.
Yeah,
what else can you say?
Exactly.
On those Jets fans,
it's, yeah.
Lauren McKenna, Ernie American. Like I said, that doesn't mean Newcastle would have won the game, but, it, you know, especially in our game, very few goals are scored normally, particularly in grand finals. So it's a massive moment.
It was, Robbie. On the positive side, for Victory fans, they've got a lot to thank Lawrence Thomas for. He was fantastic against Sydney FC. He was unbeatable last night.
Well, that's the thing, and Victory, who've had a an average season. They lost 10 games this season. They started the season horribly, and Kevin Muscat, who comes back with the last laugh, was getting booed at Amy Park very early on, and they found a way to play finals football. They come up with a goalkeeper on top of his form, and that's basically the story of this championship, and. You look back and it's their fourth championship win. Eight trophies now, all in all, puts them ahead of Sydney and Brisbane now as the most successful club in the history of the Hyundai A-League. Where does this one sit with all the others? Well, it sits as a team that found the character to play finals football. That's how it sits, and with a goalkeeper that got them there and. Yeah, I played a massive part in them picking up the trophy. But, you have to congratulate them because it shows mental toughness and character to do what they've done. And they defended very, very well. But it's not a Victory team that we've seen in the past. They're always attractive to watch. This Victory team, the way they won it the way they had to.
Let's go to some English Premier League, mate. The result that stands out for me overnight, West Brom Albion 1-0 over Tottenham Hotspur. So now Tottenham, they've left the door ajar for Chelsea. Look, they've got a game in hand and they're five points behind. But that's an opportunity for them to go into that top, the all-important top four.
Exactly. And what about West Brom? I mean, that's the most important in respect to, obviously, it opens the door for Chelsea where we thought that door was well and truly closed weeks ago. And that's a massive game, Chelsea v Liverpool for that top four race. And it's made it interesting with only a couple of games to go. Some teams have only got one game. But what about West Brom? I mean, they've beaten Manchester United. They've taken points off Arsenal, Liverpool. Now they've beaten Tottenham. Where was this form earlier in the season? Because it's incredible what they've done in the last month. They are still a chance, albeit a very slim one, to survive. Huddersfield, they're playing Man City away tonight. They go to Chelsea away, and they've got Arsenal at home. That's their three games to go. You've got Southampton, and Southampton look gone, and now Swansea City are in that relegation place on 33 points. Huddersfield on 35. That's going to go to the wire.
I'm looking for Millwall. Did they not play overnight?
I looked through it. No, they didn't play overnight. They must play tomorrow. But they're not no chance of making the playoffs. I don't think so.
No, I'm just looking for Timmy Cahill time.
He's got a suspension, hasn't he?
Has he got a suspension, has he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's suspended.
Yeah, he's missing the last couple of games.
No, he's running again for Millwall. So.
Yeah,
that's over, which obviously not ideal.
He didn't get much game time anyway, did he, Robs?
No, he didn't
get much game time, but... dare I say, he'll be on the plane to Russia. I think it was already decided.
As he should be.
It was probably in Bert van Marwijk's contract. You must fix Tim Cahill.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
There and, it hasn't been ideal, to be brutally honest.
Yeah, no.
The situation firstly at Melbourne City and now going to Millwall where he's got little game time and now this suspension. But he'll be there. Just on Bert van Marwijk, he was there last night. You can't... that he would have been too impressed with what he saw.
Probably not.
Good idea to be there, though.
Yeah, it was a good idea. And look, the scene was fantastic. The atmosphere was brilliant. The Victory fans never stopped. Never, ever stopped. As I said, the entertainment, the FFA put on a great show. The only thing that was missing was a memorable match. But you know what, guys? sometimes that, you know,
it's grand finals.
Yeah.
It's grand finals.
Or you can have all the ingredients you want, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't live up to, you know, what people want. Not necessarily what they expect, but certainly what they want. But it was a gritty, nitty-gritty, hard-fought grand final. And the victory won it, and good luck to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Rob. We'll speak again next week.
Thank you very much, boys.
There he is, Robbie Slater. Yep. You can see him on Fox Sports. He is our football expert on a Sunday. Just about to go to a break. Reminds me of there was a fellow who was in charge of the Queen on FA Cup Day. Like, he would have to represent the FA and look after the Queen on Cup Day, and it was a particularly bland FA Cup final. And as he was going back to the car, he said to the Queen, did you think anyone played well today? And she said, yes, the band.
She's all over.
Great work.
She was all
great
over.
Work from Betty Windsor. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
We Greek gods have given you mortals many things, but now we present our greatest gift, Greek lamb with tzatziki from Subway. Deliciously tender sliced Australian lamb, marinated in garlic and paprika, topped with zesty tzatziki sauce. It's a mouth-watering taste of Greece. So get it before it's gone. Greek lamb from Subway. That's my kind of heavenly taste. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Your business is building up for the end of financial year.
With a bit of cash flow, you could build up your inventory.
But the banks keep tearing it all down, saying no.
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 Turn that no around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes using just 3 bank statements. The cash you need to grow your business could be in your account in just one business day. Visit ondeck.com.au. OnDeck, the small business loan specialist.
Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Now everything's gone towards isolation here for the Jazz.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. 1353-53, that's the open line number. Time now to speak to the Victorian that does listen to the show.
The one listener down south.
I believe Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au is on the line. Hello, Trent.
Good morning to you, Jimmy and Ray.
Trent, you know when I'm talking about Victorians that I'm exactly referring to you, right?
I'm the consensus of just one of many in this great state of Victoria.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You are. They're all a little bit different down there, the Victorians.
Yeah, I can vouch for that, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Take it either way. You know, take it either way. Righto, mate, this is going to be a couple of cracking games of rugby league. Dragons, the high-flying Dragons, at home to the defending premiers, the Melbourne Storm. What are the prices?
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock at Jubilee Oval, and for a fair portion of the week, Jimmy, it was each of two, but it's now St George Illawarra $1.75 and Melbourne $2.10. The line is slender, 1.5. So Melbourne, we know they have the great record when St George Illawarra come to Amy Park. They haven't won in Melbourne for almost 20 years, but the Storm have won 4 of their last 5 against the Dragons. But just a feeling today, fellas, I mean, it's so early to say grand final preview, but you're looking at the top two in the betting for the premiership at present.
Well, if they said to me, you have to name your grand finalist now, your life depends on it.
What would you say? This is it?
Dragons v Storm.
Fair enough. It's going to be a cracking game.
Yep.
Rooster Seagulls at 4:10, Trent. This is a must-win game for both.
Mm.
It will be, right. And it actually surprised me. Zorba stole my thunder in regards to the stats. That, I mean, he would certainly know how good the Seagulls go against the Roosters and had it down this morning. 5 of their last 6, but we've got the Sydney Roosters $1.30 and Manly $3.65. The line is 10.5. I know that great record we've just talked about, fellas, but can you see any way Manly, just their struggles they're having, that they could knock off the Sydney Roosters, who have disappointed a couple of times as big favourites this season?
I'd love them at plus 10.5, Manly. I reckon it's just going to be a spirited showing from them. May not be enough to win, and I'm just still seeing from the Roosters just some clunky football. So Manly plus 10.5, I really like the look of.
Okay, plus 10.5. Well, margin betting, the Roosters 13+ is the favourite way, $2.10. But there you go, plus 10.5. And obviously Zorba a bit torn. He didn't want to give too much away in regards to the game. But we'll go with you, Jimmy, plus 10.5 for the Seagulls.
He didn't want to go on the record as tipping one or the other, did he?
No, he didn't.
He didn't want to do that whatsoever. Yeah, yeah. All five. Richmond,
just carrying all before them in the AFL.
Staggering to have the sentence, as Ray would think, that Richmond are the benchmark and the one that everyone's looking at the moment. It's only been 40 years, but they are $1.10 fellas to beat Fremantle at $7.50. The line is 40.5, and I do think the Tigers are going to give the Dockers a fair touch-up. That's 110 at the MCG. The 3:20 game at Etihad Stadium, you've got St Kilda $3.05, Melbourne $1.40, the line 19.5. I think St Kilda could give them a little bit of a fright, Ray, maybe plus 19.5, but I think Melbourne's just perhaps going to squeak over the line. And then the 4:40 game at the Gabba, you've got the Brisbane Lions $3.60, Collingwood $1.30, the line is 21.5. And Jimmy, Ray's never wanted Collingwood to win more in their life, because if Brisbane do win, that means that Carlton would be the only team with a zero in the win column.
Yeah, they are struggling, the Blue Boys.
What is going on? They're awful, aren't they?
Hashtag rebuilding.
Yeah, I know, yeah. 20
well,
years
that's
of
your man, Sauce.
I know, I can't believe it. Three games in the EPL overnight. There's a couple of important ones, particularly for Huddersfield, who are still in relegation zone. Trent?
Well, they're $21 to beat Manchester City.
Good luck.
That's the 10:30 game at Etihad Stadium. Yet Manchester City, $1.07. The draw, $11. Huddersfield Town, $21. And then 1:30, there's two matches. Well, Arsenal's $1.47 at home to Burnley, but Robbie Slater's just been speaking about it. Of course, Tottenham, Ray, would find a way to blow a chance of finishing in the top four and let Chelsea back in. So it'll be 1:30 at Stamford Bridge. They're up against Liverpool. They're cock-a-hoop. They're going to Kiev in 3 weeks' time for the Champions League final. Chelsea, 2:15. The draw, 3:40. And Liverpool, 3:30. Fellas, I know that Tanya just touched on it as well, the NBA playoffs, unfortunately. We're in overtime, and they're in the waning seconds. The Celtics are now leading 99-98 in overtime. So the 76ers, they needed Marco Bellinelli to tie the game to get it to overtime. He managed to do that, but we'll just keep an eye on ESPN there. At 10:30, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're $1.57 to take a 3-0 series lead in their playoff series against the Toronto Raptors, $2.40. The line is a flat five. But there's plenty happening, fellas, and hopefully the 76ers can eke this one out. Otherwise, they'll be down 0-3. But to check out all the markets, you can go to tab.com.au.
Yeah, great performance from Liverpool during the course of the week, even as a development club, be able to get through to the Champions League final.
Good guys are there, James.
Yeah, well done to them. Good on you, Trent.
Thanks, guys.
Trent Lansgale there from tab.com.au. Time now to speak to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons Quality Card. We missed him last week. Yeah. Where were you, Scotty?
We just ended the school holidays, so took the kids away for a long weekend from Anzac Day through to the weekend just to see my nan up in Queensland. She's 94 years old and kicking on strong, so good on you, nan. And the kids had a great time, so sorry I couldn't do the ad, boys, but
there are more important things in life.
I thought I'd give him a shot at it, but I've heard he didn't want to come on.
No, he brushed us, so that's okay. Yeah.
Well, I hope you boys did a good job.
That's debatable.
We won't send you the tape. Let's say that. Righto, tell us about the 2010 automatic Holden Barina sedan, buddy.
Yeah, we've got another great little automatic for the listeners today. It will be the perfect first car or a great little runaround. It is the 2010 automatic Holden Barina sedan. Boys, I got one of these for my mum a few years ago. It has been a fantastic car, very economical. It has all the safety features, but more importantly, it hasn't caused me any brain damage at all because it has been one very reliable little car. And they come with air conditioning, power steering, power windows, ABS brakes, airbags, alloy wheels and remote central locking. They have everything you need in a small car. And this one is definitely priced to sell at just $5,990. That's right.
Wow.
It's a 2010 model. You just can't buy small autos in this condition for this price. So don't miss out. Go to the website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024. And don't forget to mention Sky Sports Radio and receive a free 3-year warranty with any car purchase.
That's great value, Scotty. And if anyone needs any help with finance, I've only got to ask you, mate.
We certainly can help everyone out. We've got some great finance packages available, and we have access to a lot of lenders. This also allows us to get the best possible rates, also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid default, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber drivers, then go to our website, www.fosterskqualitycars.com.au. Or give us a call on 96375024.
Righto, what's happening in the ISP?
Oh, some very close games, Jimmy. I don't know if you saw them yesterday, but the Bears and the Jets, they were 22-all. Wyong and the Knights, 23-all.
Oh.
And with a couple of minutes to go yesterday, unfortunately, Wenny, 22-all with the Bulldogs, for the Bulldogs, the penalty, a field goal to win, to beat us 23-22. You wouldn't believe it, then Parramatta nearly did the same thing. 20 could have got the 22-all.
Yeah.
So very close score lines in all those four games. So remarkable.
Yeah, that is disappointing for them.
And
now,
where is he? Where's Steve Foster?
What's going on with the old man?
Well, it was me last week, but it's Dad. He's actually gone up to far north Queensland. He's gone up to Babinda. Now, you wouldn't believe it, boys. A long time ago, he went up as a captain coach and coached the Babinda. Oh, what are they back there? I think they're the Babinda. I don't know.
Drop Bears?
They're a long way up. So they
no such thing back then.
They're a long way up. They're the Drop Bears. There you go.
Yeah. Well, they were in the Innisfail League back then, but I think they've gone to the Cairns competition now. But their 100-year anniversary this weekend, so well done to Babinda Rugby League, and good luck in season 2018. I'm sure they would have put on a pretty good shindig up there, so I hope they all survived okay, and I hope Dad gets back on it as well.
I'm sure he'll be fine, mate. I'm sure he'll be fine. Hey, we're going to sell this Holden Barina. Yeah. We want it out the door.
Yeah, we're going to get us back on track, boys.
All right, beauty. Fosters QualityCars.com.au if you're one of our regional listeners that can't get to Sydney, or we can give them a call, 9637-5024. Great job, Scotty. We'll do it again next week.
Good, boys. Have a great day.
You too, Scotty.
There he is, Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Fosters QualityCars.com. .au. Oh, go on, say
have
it, Raymond.
Got time for midnight?
Yeah, go on, say it.
Good morning, midnight.
Good morning, Raymond. How are you, mate?
Terrific, mate. What's your theme?
Good.
What's your theme today, midnight?
Well, I just got a little blue with me, missus. She wants to go to London for that royal wedding.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so we're arguing whether we can afford the airfare.
Mm.
So I'm back and race. One number nine at Dubbo today.
Race one, number nine.
If that gets up, I'm going to buy her air ticket to the London and she can go on to the royal wedding.
Okay, race one, number nine at Dubbo.
Is whinging wife.
Whinging wife. All right, well done.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, what's your team then, midnight?
Oh, my team?
Yeah, your team.
Fullback.
Hmm.
Steve Buckingham.
Yeah, yeah.
Wingers. Arthur Harry and Jack Charles. Bennett, Ernie Church and Scotty England.
Yes, yes, good. Nice.
Bihars, Percy Knight and Scotty Prince.
Very good.
Very good. Very I like that. Yeah, good players.
Me lot, Michael Duke.
Mm. Good.
The second row, Patrick Crown and Jack Jewell. Remember Jack Jewell?
No.
Played for Parramatta back in the late 40s.
I can't believe I can't remember him.
Jimmy's checking
one of my favourite
midnight.
One of my favourite Parramatta players of the late 40s, Jack Jewell.
Yeah. And me prop.
Yeah, your front row, yeah.
Jesse Royal and Darren Britt.
Very good.
Hooker.
Yeah.
Gary Castle.
Nice. Coach.
Who's the coach, mate?
Coach.
Hey, from up here at Maitland. Johnny King.
Oh, Johnny King, the great Johnny King. His grandson played yesterday.
Best, midnight. That's one of your best.
That's a good game, yes, in Newtown, North Sydney.
Newtown, North Sydney, yeah, I didn't see it.
I was watching in between the races, flicking on and off.
Yeah, right, yeah, that one on Channel 9. Don't worry, there's another Intra-Super Premiership game, Western Suburbs versus the Dragons today. You can watch that one as well.
Hey, Jimmy, when you go to a restaurant, do you tip the waitresses?
Where are you going with this, midnight?
Well, just ask you a question.
Yes, I do.
Well, I hope you tip them a bit better than Ray did yesterday at Rosehill.
Oh.
Bad day, yeah.
He is. He's a man out of form, Raymond. I think he's going to bounce back today, though, midnight, just like
I
you have.
Good. Val Reed,
go, you good thing. The only one I've got. Good on you, midnight.
Yeah, good on you, mate.
Hey, bad news. Boston 101, Phillies 98. Boston go 3-0 up in that series.
That's going to make it tough. We'll quickly take Dave. G'day, Dave.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray.
How are you, Dave?
Oh, good, mate. I didn't think you were going to get to me. I was in the middle of a game of tennis, mate.
That's okay.
Sorry.
In between points, what do you got for us,
yeah,
Dave?
I just wanted to talk about Cliff Watson. I was a bit saddened by
him
during the week and everything. I'm a tragic Sharkies, and I'm up in Armidale these days. So I grew up in Beverly Hills, and in 1967, I went out to the sports ground and watched Cronulla beat Eastern Suburbs.
Yeah, wow.
And I thought, how easy is this? Little bit I know, I had to wait.
it was all worthwhile.
It was interesting, Dave. I'm not sure if you heard Zorba, but Zorba was saying how Cliff Watson was actually had very, very good ball skills. He can get a pass away in amongst tackles, etc. So he wasn't just an enforcer.
I met him once.
Did you?
And he just
Your
had that. Not particularly by today's standards, but he's just one of those guys that had a presence about him, you know? And just a legendary figure.
Quick tip, who wins today of these two games, particularly St George?
Dragons
versus Storm.
Dragons Roosters, there's your all up. Coming up on Racing HQ, full Dubbo preview with Mick Wallace.